email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Owen Colfer is on the line. Good afternoon, Owen.
Ray, how's it going?
Good to talk to you. Always good to talk to you.
It's always good to talk.
Yes, and you're fully vaccinated?
I am, but I think you're okay. I don't think you can get it down the phone.
Put on your mask there. Don't be so cheeky. This is the ultimate social distancing, isn't it?
I know. I'm hoping the social distancing will shrink somewhat over the coming months, I hope.
Because part of, in talking to you over the years, the writing is obviously what you do, but the going out and promoting and going to libraries and having events and answering questions of your readers, that fed you, didn't it? It gave you energy.
It's a huge part of it. It certainly kept me going on the writing front, because sometimes when you're coming to the tail end of a book and you've been in your office for the bones of a year, you do lose heart a little bit. But then you go back out on the road and you meet all the people that the book meant something to. Most especially the graphic novel we did recently, Illegal, which everywhere we meant, the local migrant charity would come and usually speak before us. And like, that was a hugely emotional thing. And we're supposed to be out on the road again now with another book, but that's not happening, so...
Remind people about Illegal. So it's a graphic novel, and it's about a little guy called Ebo.
Yeah, Illegal was by me and Andrew Duncan, my co-writer partner, and then Giovanni Regano, who's an Italian artist. So Andrew came to me with this idea that no one was really talking to the graphic novel audience about all these kids who were coming across the Mediterranean in boats, and a lot of them had more or less walked across the Sahara to get to Libya or Tunisia in the first place. So we did this graphic novel, which is based completely on a jigsaw of true events. And the impact has been astounding. I mean, it's just going and going and going. And, you know, we're still two and a half years later, it's still winning awards. And I mean, that's not the point. I just dropped that in.
How many books has it sold?
I think it's something like 37 million. No, I think it's 200,000. But like, for a graphic novel, that's the equivalent of 37
million.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So. It's brilliant. So you're trying to get the message to a certain type of person who reads a graphic novel. Is that
yes,
it?
Yes. That's what Andrew's point. And he was completely right. He said, you know, this has been well represented on websites and newspapers and TV shows, but there's a lot of people who don't access their information that way. So if we can kind of wrap it up in an interesting adventure story, it could have a real effect, and it did have a real effect. And I think the most profound thing that happened to us was we were in I forget where the school was, somewhere in the States, and a teacher came up to us with a little fellow, and he was an migrant himself, and he couldn't really match us up with authors of the book. Uh-huh. And basically he couldn't speak English. And she said what he'd been doing was, since he got a copy of the book in the library and they let him hang on to it, was he was just pointing to things in the book that had happened to him so that the other kids in the class would know, this happened to me. And that was like, we were just blown away. I don't like the term humbled, because it's been hijacked by social media, but you know, hashtag humbled, which is really mean.
But you were humbled by that.
But we were completely
genuinely humbled. Yeah,
genuinely. And that is the power of a good book. And that, you know, so we would fight for these books to be accessible to people if possible.
So he has a sister called Sissy and a brother called, is it Kwame or Quayne?
Kwame. So,
and they've disappeared from his village, and he goes in search of them. And there's somebody had mentioned that Sissy might be in prostitution. And that's a fairly adult theme.
It is an adult theme, but it's a real thing, and it's a tragically common thing. So we felt we didn't want to sugarcoat it too much for these kids, because we wanted them to know what the child in the desk beside them had possibly
gone through before
they start belittling that child, maybe.
Yes, yeah.
From the advice of whoever. We want to know, this kid has probably walked across the Sahara looking for his sister who's in a bad way in Italy or London. And so we took a lot of serious conversations, what was going to go into the books and what was suitable and what we felt, because at the end, I suppose it was our decision, what we felt kids could
handle.
Take.
Because yesterday, I don't know if you saw it on the cover of the Irish Times, there were 40 complaints about, in particular, two books that were on the curriculum.
Yeah.
The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood and
Which
Room
is brilliant. Yeah.
By Emma Donoghue.
Yeah.
And 40 people complaining to the Department of Education and letters written to the minister herself.
Yeah.
To formally complain that they weren't suitable for children of that age. Now you were laureate in an Og, weren't you, back in 2014? So
yeah.
I suppose you should have an opinion about this, should you or should you not?
No, I do, but I think the danger is that these arguments get very polarizing, and people line up on one side of the fence or the other. But the reality is that most people are around the middle, and the reality also is that most parents, including yourself, I would think, and possibly me, we know our kids better than anyone else knows them. Mm. And if we are genuinely looking at the kids and their welfare, and we do genuinely think that this book will affect them negatively, which some books can, well, then it's our duty to say something. But at the same time, sometimes the arguments don't hold up. So I think if you want to have that argument or that discussion, have it. But you also have to listen to the other side of the discussion. And I feel that's not what's happening. And I'll give you an example.
Well, yeah.
I was teaching in Africa, in Tunisia, where some of the ideas for Illegal came from. But anyway, a parent came in to me and we were doing To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a fabulous book about, you know, the Deep South and about prejudice. And about the imagination and the human spirit. And a parent came in and said, I don't want my daughter doing, To Kill a Mockingbird. And I was like, what? To Kill a Mockingbird? And this girl was 15. So it's not, you know, it wasn't an eight-year-old. And the parent said, yes, because there's a rape in To Kill a Mockingbird. And I said, there is no rape in To Kill a Mockingbird. And the parent said, well, yeah, but the word rape is in there. So it's really hard to talk about that. Like, it's very hard to argue with that or discuss it.
Mm.
But it is a discussion that you have to have.
Okay,
you know,
here's a question, Owen. Is it not, is literature not a good way of introducing themes in a sort of a safe environment to allow then a discussion?
Yeah, it is. It is a 90% of stuff. But I mean, you do have to think, well, let's not do American Psycho for junior infants. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, well, that's.
But you'll be amazed how often common sense solves the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I've been banned. I was doing a show in California, and we drove for hours to get to this big bookstore in the middle of nowhere. And then when we were there and there was like 500 seats laid out, the whole bookstore had been cleared up, and nobody was there. Nobody turned up at all. And the librarian from the school called in and said, we realized that I realized that there's magic in your books and therefore they're ungodly. And therefore I decided to not allow anyone to come. And we didn't tell you because we wanted to teach you a lesson. So we were all sitting around.
My word.
In this massive. So in that sort of instance, you kind of despair, because how are you going to have a chat with that person and try and make your point? Mm. It does seem like there's an impasse there. And they're the real, for me, that's always the toughest situations to deal with, where someone is saying something that you would think is patently untrue or unfounded, and where do you begin there? Like, how do you start that dialogue?
Difficult.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't agree about The Handmaid's Tale, or I wouldn't agree about Room. You know, I think they're two fantastic books. So, and also, I don't know, is 40 letters, is that a huge amount? I don't know.
I was trying to think how many, if there's one cycle of Leave Insert is 60,000, around 60,000.
Yeah.
So that's 60,000 families who have those books to read. This is off the top of my head. So 40 out of that probably is a very small percentage.
You're great at the maths when it comes to money, Ray, but when it's...
I'm not, actually. Speaking of maths, how many podcasts are there in the world and do we need another one? No, I'm joking.
Listen, I think this whole podcast was born out of hubris. I was thinking, you know what? I'm not famous at the moment. I need to do something about that. No, this podcast, which is called Double Booked, which is, again, me and my buddy Andrew Duncan, we had been doing this kind of weekly catch-up and answering questions for people. And it was seemed to be a really natural evolution for us to start talking about two kids' books writers talking about kids' books and getting kids' books guests on there. And it's just fun, and it is really like you are the third person on the Zoom call if you come and have a listen to it. And so far, it's gone really well. We're having a great laugh. And Andrew is a natural comedian. He's the funniest guy I know. So hopefully, and we have a list of writers who want to come on, because apparently everyone's bored. So, so
they don't have to leave their office or their sitting room. They can do it from home.
No, they just have to tidy a square behind the camera.
That's it.
That so little square.
It's called Double Booked, a brand new Double children's booked. Book podcast with Owen Colfer, that's you, and Andrew Duncan, and he's your partner in literature and you're friends. And it is that lovely thing that, as you say, it sounds like you're eavesdropping on a chat between two friends who are having the crack, and that's sort of a good recipe for a good podcast.
I have realised though, Ray, I do respect yourself and people, because I've realised that, you know, normal folks just say like and all the time. And I'm like, well, you know, like. And when you listen back to it, you say, oh my God, I really have to cut that out.
That's what the producer's for, to edit out your likes.
Yeah.
And that's why we record this show and then edit it and put it out between 3:30 and 4:30.
I see.
Yeah. Owen, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you live.
Good luck.
Soon.
Double booked is the podcast. That's it from us. John Cook is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3:00. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.